T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, special edition of Tobin's Fight Show here, everybody. It is Sunday night here in South Florida. Just watched the conclusion of Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley late into the night. I was digging the Sunday night, and then it got to the end of the night. I was like, oh, yeah. I had a radio show in a few hours, so I didn't like that very much. I would very much like it to be, a Saturday night, I think. But it's okay. Listen, nothing we haven't done before. Stay up late for fights and then go do radio the next day. Obviously, there's a lot going on with the Dolphins that we're going to get to on the morning show. And I'm sure we will talk some of this on Tobin and Leroy coming up. But did want to drop something for you guys for the fight night tonight. So if you guys are just if you guys are hip to it, and I'm sure you are now, the scores from last night were Jake Paul. He won via split decision, 77-75 and 78-74. Tyron Woodley won on one of the judges' scorecards, 77-75. And that judge, apparently, they were saying on the broadcast, gave him from rounds 3 to the last round. So they're saying they gave Jake Paul only the first 2 rounds. That's kind of crazy to me. There were definitely some close rounds in there. I don't think this is a fight that Jake Paul dominated by any means. I do think that he won the fight. I think he won the fight clearly just based on, you know, the 10-9 must system and all that type of stuff. But I think Tyron definitely had, like, the biggest round and definitely had the moment of the fight where he nearly knocked Jake Paul out. Jake Paul was never close to really knocking Tyron Woodley out. So that was definitely something that was interesting to, you know, kind of take in with this whole thing. And looking at the numbers from last night, ended up being on total punches, Jake Paul landed 71 out of 207, and Tyron Woodley landed 52 out of 163. So probably it wasn't that much of a discrepancy on the throwing as you thought it probably was. And I definitely thought after round six, when Jake caught him with that big shot, it really was him. I think thinking that he had a very big lead and really was conservative on his output. But so was Woodley. Listen, you know, a lot of people were wondering, and I was seeing some funny tweets from people where they're like, "Oh, Woodley has to throw more." And honestly, that was my number one concern when this matchup came up. And I told you guys, if you listen to the podcast on Sunday morning, there was a little piece of me that was like, you know, Jake Paul is a little bit over intense. The things of the week, maybe Tyron Woodley is going to get this. You know, I'm not usually wavered on a fight week very much. This was as close as I had gotten to being like, man, should I switch my pick? Should I go with Woodley? I stayed with it. I said Jake Paul was going to win, but I said Jake Paul was going to stop him. I thought that he was going to catch him with something. And Tyron Woodley ate a lot of stuff. Never really felt like he was going to go. Never the case. So I whiffed on that one. But the thing that I do think that I was spot on with in my early analysis of this fight was the biggest thing that concerned me with Tyron is Tyron does not throw. Man, like that's the biggest thing and the biggest hindrance in his game. And the thing is, not only does he not throw, we haven't seen him over the last 3 years win any rounds. We haven't, and he was even more like Tyron Woodley was conservative in the fights that he would win, and was you know, champion of the world and was very conservative with his output. And then he had this losing streak where he was even more conservative. So I was just very much concerned with that going into this, that he was, you know, going to be super conservative, jump in with something and maybe get caught. Wasn't. You know, he got caught definitely with some shots, but I really felt like if he could have kept that pressure on and all the success that he was having in that majestic round 4 where he really hurt Jake Paul, if he really would have kept the pressure on and he would have kept coming a little bit, And you could see it kind of humping up in him that he was getting that confidence. If that guy just kept coming forward and was throwing like that, I really do think that he would have gotten Jake Paul out of there. I really, really do. However, look, Jake Paul hit him with some big counter shots. It probably did second guess him a little bit. Jake is a strong kid. I do think that he showed some toughness. I do think that he gets a world of credit for winning this fight. Certainly didn't have the viral moment that everybody was looking for. It's kind of goofy in the post fight where, you know, Willie was calling to run it back. You know, I think Logan Paul had the words of that exchange where you're old news, fam. Like that's it. You had your chance. And I think Woodley had his chance. I'm not really interested in seeing him fight Jake Paul again. It's not like this was some epic Rocky IV back and forth clash. I was like, oh, I gotta see it again. No, I think most people outside of the judge who decided that Tyron Woodley won the last five rounds, I guess because he was going forward the entire time. That judge clearly, I guess, doesn't believe in punching off of the back foot or fighting backwards. That judge doesn't believe in that. But for me, I'm not interested in seeing that fight again. I think that, yeah, Jake Paul, that's what he is. He doesn't do things like that where it's like, this was kind of a successful fight. Let's go and do it again. Nah, he's going to move on to the latest greatest thing. And I honestly think the one thing that was interesting about his post-fight interview was that he didn't really have anything in mind. Like, he probably could have called out anybody in the world. I think that they probably were trying to set up Tommy Fury to be that guy. Tommy Fury threw up kind of a stinker tonight. And then the UFC guys, you know, maybe he's waiting for a Masvidal to get out of his UFC contract or a Nate Diaz or somebody, some bigger name, because I don't really think there is that big name right now in mixed martial arts that he could really tie himself to. So I do think that when you hear him say that he's going to take a little step back, I think he's probably waiting for that right opponent to kind of step forth and do something. Maybe, you know, a Dylan Danis has been a longtime rival. They have the Bellator. I think that's an easy fight to make. You know, but Dylan hasn't fought in forever either. I think Dylan probably would have to go into mixed martial arts, get a win, get people to remember him, have a fight week promotion and all that type of stuff. So anyway, yeah, I think what did Jake Paul show tonight? Jake Paul showed some of the guts. You know, he did eat some big, big shots. Definitely, I think that Tyron had the moment of the fight where he hit him. I mean, the one thing I think that was strange and the one thing that I don't think a lot of people probably expected, you know, they kept talking about, oh, Jake Paul, his left is going to be the big weapon. And actually, it ended up being Tyron Woodley. I thought that was the big surprise of the fight is that he hit, I don't know what the official count ended up being, but it felt like he hit Jake Paul with about, you know, 20 of those check hooks with the left hand, one of them being very, very dangerous and really almost put Jake Paul out. And I do think that if you put Jake Paul down, maybe Tyron has more of an argument, but he didn't. Like, okay, the ropes held him up, but he got through it. You know, I don't think that there's enough there for us to sit here and say that that Tyron goes and gets himself another fight. You know, Ariel Helwani was talking, who I actually thought for the most part was really good on the broadcast. He was fantastic on the interviews. Should be. He's one of the best interviewers in the game. But I did think he was a little ridiculous in the last round where he goes, oh, this is Tyron Woodley's legacy on the line. I'm like, no, it's not. Let's not get crazy. His fighting legacy is set. He is a very, very good champion in the history of the welterweight division. You know, he's not George St. Pierre. He's not Kamaru Usman. His title reign wasn't exactly beloved. He was a very scrutinized champion, but he was a very good fighter. He was a very good fighter, smart, you know, did a lot of strategic stuff to go and outthink his opponents. But yeah, like if he were to go fight Jake Paul again, like are you going to promise me that you're going to be more aggressive? Like I almost would want the fight to be three rounds and it would just have to get going. Like, I just think you're leaving more opportunity for Tyron to, you know, disappoint you, because that's what it is. Like, you know, he's going to go out there and he'll have some flashes. He'll have some success. But do you really think that when he has to pull the trigger to go get the job done, is he going to go do it? I don't think he's that guy, man. I really, really don't. So, look, he got through it. He gets a big payday. He didn't get turned into a meme. Please don't get your name. Don't get I Love Jake Paul tattooed on you, especially for a rematch. God, that seems unbelievably desperate if you were to do that. I understand he's a fighter. He wants to go provide. Please, just it's such a bad look if you were to do that. Say if I fulfill the bet, don't do that. I really, really hope he doesn't. That was the only thing that kind of left me a little bit empty-hearted at the end. I just thought that the ending was lame, you know, them kind of talking into it. And most of it, I honestly thought was Tyron's fault. Like, you know, Tyron sitting here and saying that, oh, I definitely won that fight. He didn't win that fight, man. He didn't win that fight. He had the moment of the fight. He didn't win the fight. It's, you know, so, and I don't think a lot of people would be interested in seeing it again. But it was a fun night, man. Look, I don't think that anybody who paid their $60 tonight came away disappointed. I think it was a decent fight for what it was. You know, you were hoping that there were going to be those crazy moments where those guys kept throwing pretty big shots. It definitely wasn't the most technical fight in the world by any means. But I really think that for the most part, it was an entertaining night. I thought the fight card was really good. Tommy Fury versus Anthony Taylor was interesting. I actually think that, if anything, Tommy Fury was probably one of the best buoys for Jake Paul tonight to really just look at where his career is at. And they mentioned a little bit of this on the broadcast, but the one thing I think you do have to give Jake Paul credit for is, look, there's a lot of boxers who go out there. They look clumsy. They make these things look ugly. These aren't entertaining. You know, I always, you know, when I talk to young boxers about those 4-round fights, I find them to be unbelievably stressful for them because it's like you want to get in work, but you also want to finish guys fast. And it's almost to put that pressure on you and also, you know, not let you get blown out cardio wise. And, you know, Tommy Fury looks like your typical inexperienced boxer. And Jake Paul, yeah, you can go and you can, you know, harp on the caliber of opponents. I'm going to tell you, as a guy who goes to a lot of regional shows, when you see these 1-0 or 2-0 matchups versus the guy who's 0-4 or 1-3, you know, some of the guys that I've seen fight, you know, world-class fighters in their early days were jokes too. And you just don't see those fights. They're not on national TV. Jake Paul was able to turn them into memes. So I do think that Jake Paul does get some credit for that. I do think that he should get some credit tonight for weathering some adversity. And I do think that he won the majority of those rounds. I thought that he won 5 out of 8 rounds tonight. Probably had an argument for 6 out of 8. I thought that the way I had it for him, I had 1-2 go to his way. I had 3-4 go Woodley. So I had it even after 4. Then I had Jake sweeping it up until the 8th round I gave to Woodley. And I think it's a pretty good card. I thought 6 was, you know, I thought 6 was maybe an argument for Woodley, maybe. So maybe you could say, hey, on a good day, was it a draw? But I even thought that I was generous with round 3. So I really thought for Tyron, really the only rounds I thought were super clear for him were round 4, obvious, round 6, pretty obvious because of how conservative Jake Paul was in that round. So that's you know, that's that with the as far as the things that are concerned. I thought that Showtime put on a good show tonight. I thought the broadcast was good. Awesome awesome fight on the undercard between Montana Love and Ivan Berenchik. Holy crap, if you guys didn't see this fight, I hope it gets put up on YouTube. I hope Showtime Boxing puts it up on YouTube. This was a tremendous fight. And not even it was a tremendous fight from the scorecards, because I think Montana Love did dominate the scorecards, but Ivan Berenchik is so crazy. There's a reason they call him the Beast, and I am biased because he does train down here, but he just comes forward winging with crazy punches, you know, and, you know, catches and caught Love with a couple of them, which were really, really dangerous. But Love, I thought, just showed such unbelievable poise and some of the boxing skill that he showed. He really, I thought, out of everybody, I think, took the Jake Paul shine of this was, you know, what do they say, the second biggest pay-per-view. He took that shine. I think people are going to know him, and he had a monster call out of either Josh Taylor or Javonte Davis. I know Javonte Davis responded on Twitter, but look, you know, Dude's probably got some hype behind him. I would do it. You know, I would hop on that train and make it happen, because he took every element of this stage and did great things with it. Daniel Dubois, he steamrolled Joe Cusimano, or Giuseppe, is that what he's going by? Cusumano knocked him out in the first round, put him down three times, not really much there. And Serrano versus Makoto, decent fight, back and forth. You know, Serrano, I thought she was going to put it away in that final round. I don't really get her coach being mad at Mercado. You know, he was yelling at her, oh, be a true Mexican, go out there. Dude, slow your roll. She's, first of all, she's coming up in weight, and she's fighting one of the best fighters on the planet. Perhaps you just tone it down a little. I'm just saying. And as far as, like, star power was concerned, you know, Dave Chappelle was there. You had Dustin Poirier. I like that they introduced Dustin Poirier on the boxing broadcast as the UFC champion. He should be referred to as the champion. I like that from my dude, Dustin Poirier. I was happy about that. My guy, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, one of the best guests that I want to get Ray on this week. I'm going to try and endeavor that because he's one of my favorite guys to talk boxing to. I think that probably had to be cool. That dude is Ohio royalty. And they had Corey Spinks there. Other than that, probably Logan Paul was probably the biggest celebrity there that at least I saw on the broadcast. That's kind of the recap. I just wanted to get something out there for the everybody because I didn't get a chance to do it on the Sunday show. Not common that we have a Sunday night main event, big event. I think most of the world not in school yet, not like South Florida. So I'm sure it did really well. And we'll talk about it more on the on the morning show with Leroy and the whole crew there. But you know, as far as the fight crew is concerned, just give you my two cents in it. As far as the wrap up, final thoughts on this, thought Jake Paul, got some well needed rounds for his boxing career. If this is going to be a thing, I thought that he showed himself to have some guts, some gumption to take some big shots and go through. I do think that, we didn't see that devastating 1-2 where he looked like he was really going to hurt Tyron Woodley, but I do think that it was enough where Woodley wasn't willing to go for broke and really endeavor anything. I do think that there was a little bit of caution there, but we didn't see that, like, you know, this idea that he has devastating knockout power. Didn't come to fruition tonight from a guy who actually could punch back and could take a shot and look like he had trained and had been in better shape. I mean, listen, as I said in the lead up to this, Tyron Woodley is he is durable. He is a guy who could take shots. So it shouldn't be surprising that he was standing after 8 rounds. But for him, I don't. Understand, Tyron's going to sit there and say, I won the fight. I don't think that he won the fight. Although I don't, looking at the numbers, I don't think it's as lopsided as people probably thought it was. And definitely, I just thought that he probably just should have. I think if he would have thrown a little bit more, you got that crowd. And he didn't throw. I think he threw 48 jabs. And it just, that jab just sets everything up. And it just even just makes you look a little bit better. And honestly, this is an interesting stat. So, like, looking at the stats from last night, it was Jake Paul threw 122 jabs and landed 36 of them. Woodley threw 48 jabs, landed 11 of them. But, like, Woodley is almost in the reverse of power shots where it was 41 out of 115. And Jake was 35 out of 85. So, I just think that it was, I think if he probably would have, thrown that jab a little bit more, maybe set some more things up. But, I mean, listen, he was having a ton of success with that left hand, that hook. I mean, that was, I think, his best shot of the fight. Jake Paul just never, he just could never figure that out. Jake did a great job, I think, avoiding the right hand bomb for the most part. But that sneaky little left hook he was getting hit with a bunch of times and probably, maybe could have gone to the well a little bit more on that. But as I said, this has been the story of Tyron Woodley's entire fight career, basically, as we have been, as fans with Tyron Woodley. Like, he always says, people didn't give me the respect I deserve. People don't do this. No, dude, we're all sitting there because we all think that this guy has the capabilities of being one of the best things in the sport. And in a lot of ways, he's reached heights that tons of people won't reach. Like, guys who maybe are more beloved, like Donald Cerrone, like Tyron Woodley had a more decorated career because he did it at the more elite level, I guess you could say. But, Donald would go down like the cowboy and throw a ton of shots and all that type of stuff. And Woodley would be like, I'll have the least amount of strikes landed against Damian Maia in a championship match. Like that's just what he is. That's what he's always been, and that's what a lot of people have been frustrated by his fight career for a long time. But I don't want to see him fight Jake Paul again. I don't really, and I think it's, like I said, it's interesting, you know, Jake Paul not really having a clear answer. I don't really know what the clear answer is. I think that if Dylan Danis were to get a fight in Bellator on Showtime and you have Jake Paul on the call or something like that, I think that that's a kind of an old rivalry with a ton of stuff and bad blood to get to. This whole idea, should Jake Paul take on a boxer? I guess I'll end with this. I don't think it's super necessary. Like, what is it here to, I mean, look, what do we think? He's here to be champion of the world. Can you name the cruiserweight champions of the world right now? Cause it's not Usyk anymore. Like, could you name those guys? Probably not. So I think for Jake, I think this whole idea of fighting more dangerous guys or continue to fight mixed martial artists, I think it's fun. You know, I take it for what it is. I'm not looking to see Jake Paul, continue to always up his game. I would like him to not fight dudes with dad bods anymore. That would be kind of cool. But if he has like a rivalry, like a Dylan Danis pop up, I think it'd be fun. I'm not really into the Tommy Fury thing, quite frankly. Is Tyson Fury going to be involved with the promotion? Like, I don't know. I know Tommy Fury has, I guess, a big following from Love Island or something like that. I'd have to ask Mrs. Tobin about that. She loves Love Island and all those reality shows. I don't know squat about it. So maybe I'll figure, maybe I'll do my Tommy Fury research. But I wasn't like super impressed watching Tommy Fury, and I was like, wow, I got to watch this guy's next fight. But I don't think there's a clear answer right now for Jake. I think the reason for that is because all of the UFC guys, I don't think Dana White's going to go let him fight. Like, it's easy to say, oh, a Masvidal, oh, a Michael Chandler, you know, the Missouri Avenger is going to come in and save it, a Nate Diaz. Like, all of these guys are under contract, and I don't think Dana White is, one, going to do business with Showtime, and two, going to try and make Jake Paul rich now that they're beefing with each other. See Oscar De La Hoya versus Georges St. Pierre. Anyway, that's our recap for tonight. I got to go to bed and get to the show for tomorrow morning. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.